You may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile, and you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Welcome back to Trunk Talk, everyone. My name's Charlotte.
My name's Gabby.
And if you are watching the video format of this, you'll notice we don't have any notes today. We are going rogue. We are speaking from
rogue,
the heart.
It's not rogue, Charlotte. Yeah, it's from the heart.
It's from the heart.
So in today's video, we have yet to decide what it's going to be titled, but it's going to be something along the lines of, what are we doing?
How did we end up here?
At the age of 23 and...
24.
Why are we running a semi-successful YouTube channel?
Heavy on the semi.
Heavy on the semi. And also a podcast. What qualifications do we have? What is this? What are we passionate about? How did we end up here? And we're going to answer all those questions today. And stay tuned towards the end of this podcast episode because we're going to give our automotive hot takes.
Yes. So. What cars do we think might be overrated?
Overrated big time.
All right. Stay tuned.
Let's get into it.
All right. So, Gabby, let's start off with you. What do you want to start with?
Well,
that's a good question.
My name's Gabby or Gabriella, you decide. I'm 23 years old and I've been working in the automotive industry for 4 years. I know 4 years is not a long time, especially when we work with 60-year-olds that have been in the automotive business since
longer than we've been alive.
Seemingly since birth. So we get challenged quite a bit about that. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I don't think age matters, it's passion. Mm-hmm. Cars have been something I've been interested in since I was a little girl, for sure. My dad grew up tuning cars, racing with his cousins. They all had Mustangs, they all had motorcycles, and I just kind of grew up into that sort of family, loved cars. My mom worked in a dealership for my entire life, to be honest.
Yeah.
So it kind of just happened. And I will say, I've worked at one car dealership before Brantford Kia in this group, and all I have to say is I'm very happy here. I love it here. It's honestly a great team to work for. Filming cars is definitely something I never thought I would do.
Yeah.
I don't like being on camera. Well, I like it now, but I didn't like being on camera. I didn't like my photo taken.
Yeah.
And I would never imagine myself public speaking, or at least video format speaking. And coincidentally, that's what we do all day, every day.
Yes.
That's literally our position.
That's literally our position. We share the title of media managers and
whatever
honestly,
that means.
Yeah, whatever that means. We still don't know. But honestly, like, I feel the same way as... If you, like, know me, I'm not a big, like, social media person.
Oh, no.
I'm not that, like, good with social media. I'm not even really that tech savvy.
Post once a year on Instagram, yeah. That's all.
And then literally now we're in this job where we pretty much post ourselves every single day, twice a day. And you also open yourself up to a lot of criticism doing
yeah,
that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an influencer-type job, I would say. Influencer, I don't like using that word, but I guess that's what it is. And again, nothing I ever planned for. I did know I wanted to work in automotive. Actually, I didn't always want to work in automotive.
Ooh, what did you want to do?
Well, I went in high school, I specialized. Our school had a specialist high skills major,
yeah.
And everything was for healthcare. So I thought I wanted to be healthcare, more specifically a helicopter paramedic.
Oh, girl!
Yeah, because I love, combining fast things and also helping people. So flying a helicopter, you know, that kind of thing. Didn't turn out. Then I wanted to be a police officer because I don't know why. And decided, or I saw that you had to do a lot of physical testing, so mile runs, that kind of thing, and decided, that's not for me. And then we got into the car business.
Yeah.
So that's how I ended up here.
Do you regret it, getting to the
car
business?
No. I am, now that I think of it, so helicopter paramedic, absolutely stressful job.
Yeah.
Obviously very rewarding when you do get to help people, but there's also a lot of darkness to that, and I just don't know if the benefits would outweigh the
cons.
The stress and the things that you carry in that job. Absolutely, I have a ton of respect for anyone who would do that. I just don't think it was right for me.
Yeah, the right choice for you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What about you?
So I'm 24, and if you haven't seen one of our previous episodes, I got to interview our dealer principal, Pat Hart, mm-hmm. who is also my dad.
Yep.
So that gives a little bit of background as to how I kind of got into the auto industry, but you know, obviously, I grew up with a dad who was in the auto industry. I always really, really liked cars, but my dad didn't. He didn't grow up as like a car guy.
He's a businessman.
Like yeah, he's a businessman.
Yeah.
And that is something I found has shaped me too. So similar to you, when I was in high school, I noticed that everything was very much science focused, and mm-hmm. I thought it was really great in the high school that I went to. They did a really great job at putting specialized programs in place to support kids in that. And for the longest time, like my whole life growing up, I wanted to be a doctor. Didn't know what type of doctor. Kind of wanted to be a cardiologist for the irony of being Dr. Hart, but that obviously did not pan out. Now I make car YouTube videos. When I was in high school, I actually ended up getting pretty sick and I had to take a fair bit of time out of school, just it being like, I don't know, recovering and stuff like that. So I ended up, you know, I wasn't really staying up to date on all of my classes, and I was so stressed out about taking all of these science classes and doing well into them and getting into a good university, where I was like, you know what? Actually, I don't even think I'm passionate about this anymore. The one class that was my favorite class I took was a grade 10 business class, mm-hmm. and I aced that class. Yep. I did so well in it. I loved it. And I was like, I'm going to do that instead. Yep. So on a dime, I like changed all my classes for my grade 12 year, took all business classes, and had a great last year. And that's kind of what changed it. And then after that, I went to university and I got I have a bachelor's of science in business administration, but it's with the focus of automotive dealership management. Believe it or not, there's a program for that. There's a program for everything nowadays. So that's actually what I, you know, got into university for, and really enjoyed that class too.
That's
loved
really
loved that program. And but yeah, I think what made me want to get into the auto industry was probably going to auto shows and just seeing all the cool cars and the concept. And if you know me, you know I love things that are designed with an intentional meaning. I love literature. I love art. I feel like that's a 180 from the science stuff. Yeah. But so it was, it just seemed like a really good fit. And I knew a guy.
So
why not use your connections when you can?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of, I don't know. And then I guess I've been here since I was 17. Mm-hmm. I was a co-op student, and then obviously I took some time to go to college and university, and then I've been back full-time for a little over 4 years now, 4.5 years maybe.
And you've done almost every single job there is here, except certain, like technician.
I'm not a technician. You don't want me working on your cars.
Yeah.
I can tell you what the parts are. I can tell you what you do. You don't want me fixing them. Mostly because I don't know how to use tools, if I'm being straight up. But that's been a part of my dad's strategy in helping me, you know, eventually take over or purchase a dealership of my own. That's been a big part of his strategy, is just putting me in every department, making sure I understand it, because I got a lot of the theoretical from the schooling, mm-hmm. and obviously business principles, but now I get the actual to experience it. So I've worked in service, I worked in sales, I've worked in the business office. Now,
I don't even know what we do.
Now I make car YouTube videos. Also for my school, like I didn't mention, but post-secondary, I went to college for accounting. Really putting that to use right now. Love numbers. But I did also take a business course in high school. I took accounting 2 years, and also we had a ton of general business courses. So I loved it.
I didn't even take accounting in high school.
No?
No.
I loved it. It was one of my favorite things. I was not a math person, hated math, but for some reason, when that math was money, it made sense to me.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything else? Out the window. I had bigger things to focus on in high school. Also, I have to say, the second I got my first car, everything changed. Ooh. So I was already loving cars. I liked cars, but I didn't have my license. Got my license, and that passion grew so much larger. The amount of freedom you got with your vehicle, and also just paying more attention to what was out there. I remember in grade 9 and grade 10, so before I could even get my license, just scrolling through Kijiji and Auto Trader, and like, oh, I need this car. Looking back, they were all junkyard.
Is there one that sticks out that you were like, yes?
Okay.
This is really exposing you here.
Okay. I used to love Infiniti G37s.
Ooh,
wow,
girl.
That was the car of my dreams. Ask me about Infiniti now. Ask me.
I can't tell you.
So, it's crazy how much things have changed.
Yeah.
I also grew up thinking Mustangs were the epitome of performance. Like, that was the car. That was because of my dad. My dad is a huge Mustang freak. He's got a Fox body convertible, you know, 5 liter. It's a real nice machine. I love that car. It absolutely stinks. And it's a rust bucket. But I guess I have my dad a lot to thank for it. And just paying attention to cars growing up and attending car events. So my dad is a frequent member, and his cousins are frequent members of the Cayuga Drag Strip.
Yep.
So seeing a lot of...
Yeehaw.
Yeah, a lot of... It's been a little bit of everything, might I add. A lot of domestic muscle cars, but also, don't worry, guys, my favorite car. I like the German cars. I like a little bit of luxury, too.
A little bit of luxe.
Yeah. What about you, Charlotte? What is your, when you talk about cars that you're very passionate about, obviously we work for Kia and Hyundai, we love the product, but we're talking about dream cars or less attainable vehicles. What are you interested in?
So again, and I've talked about this a couple times, probably like one of my favorite OEMs is Aston Martin. Again, mm-hmm. I love the whole concept of their DB series being like the gentleman's grand tour. Obviously, I know that doesn't really apply to me, the gentlewoman's grand tour. Mm-hmm. But again, I just love things that are classic, things that are really iconic.
Yeah.
Aside from them as an OEM, I probably lean more towards probably more vintage cars. Yeah. I love something like a DB5, vintage like Speedster, you know, stuff like that. That's really mm-hmm. cool. Any vintage 911 turbo is like, I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
So I love probably stuff more like that. I'm trying to think maybe modern. I don't know. I think McLaren makes some pretty good looking cars. So.
For modern cars, it's a little harder.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know you're a big Aston Martin girl.
Yeah.
For me, it's definitely Porsche all the way. Classic, new. I think they make beautiful cars. Yeah. And even with their current model lineup, 911 is just such a classic-looking mm-hmm. vehicle. It doesn't matter what year you're looking at. It's just beauty. And I just love how they just get shorter and shorter and shorter. Wider and wider and wider. but still maintaining that classic shape. Also, the performance. I've had the pleasure, or I guess the... what's the word for it? Yes, I've had the fantastic opportunity to drive quite a few models. So whether it be a Carrera 4S or a GT3 RS, they've been vehicles that every single time I've gotten behind the wheel, you can't stop that smile on mm-hmm. my face. And no other vehicle has been able to mimic that. Mm. I also have a friend who had a Lamborghini Huracan. Obviously, that is a supercar. That is a crazy car. And the smile, it was huge, but it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
So I definitely like Porsche. When it comes to a little bit more attainable, but still a bit more luxurious, I love a 90s BMW.
Oh, no. Kate, this has been the lunchroom conversation this week.
I just keep scrolling through Facebook Marketplace, and all I want is a big, chunky 6 Series. And then Tim reminds me of how much repairs are going to cost. Yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, maybe that's not for me. Not for me right now, guys. But like this video.
If you could watch this video twice with ads on, maybe we could get Gabby into her dream car.
A dream car, a polished turd. So those are what we look at in the automotive world, aside from Kia and Hyundai.
Yeah. Unattainable.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to working for Kia and Hyundai is like, I think we've said this before, but I don't think there's another manufacturer for consumer cars that we'd want to work with.
Yeah.
Because
no one's doing it like us.
Yeah. Well, not like us, but like
maybe,
them.
Maybe not like me and Charlotte, whatever. But Kia and Hyundai in general, no one's doing it like
but
them.
I just think that they do some really cool stuff, and I think that it's very rare when you find a company that has like a good warranty, a good product on the interior, exterior, you know, that kind of impresses people, makes you go, oh, like that's a Kia, oh, that's a Hyundai, and kind of in the mid of that mm-hmm. that mid brand shift, brand identity shift.
Yeah, I just think for the value, these vehicles are phenomenal, and even offer the value. If you're just talking about the performance, especially in our Hyundai N cars mm-hmm. now, and even the Kia, like the EV6 GT, what an unreal vehicle! Seriously, phenomenal vehicles. I'm very proud to work for them.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
A little sentiment.
Charlotte, we did say this from the heart.
This is from the heart. So.
Let's shift the topic here a little bit.
So we were positive. Now let's get negative.
Let's get negative. My favorite thing to do. Charlotte, what are some of the struggles we faced?
I think...
Other than Tim.
Yeah. I think it can be hard being a younger person in the auto industry. I think it can be hard being a younger woman in the auto industry, too.
Yeah. I agree with you, except...
Ooh, yeah.
I guess it largely depends where you're working.
Yeah, for sure.
And this dealership, I will say, been treated, obviously, other than, like, being, like, headbutting with Tim constantly.
in a good way.
Everyone here has been so respectful to us. They
I'm more talking about the customer end.
Oh, the customer end, yep. That makes sense. All right, keep going.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we, like, honestly, we have such a great company culture here, and like, we have a ton of fun. There's never a day where we're not laughing at the dealership, so that's a ton of fun. But, yeah, I think for me specifically on the service end is you would get a lot of people who, and I understand that car repairs, it sucks, it's inconvenient, it can often be expensive, it's not a lot of fun. It's not an excuse to take it out on the people that are working there. Everyone's just trying to do their job at the end of the day, but that was a big thing I would face is I would recommend something and, you know, people would be like, oh, well, like, what do you know? They're like, can I talk to someone who actually knows anything? Yeah. And I've had people, like, you know, threaten me with physical violence, like, like, it's ridiculous, verbally assaulted on the daily. So I think that can be a little bit difficult, but honestly, it just, for me personally, gave me a bigger drive where I'm going to be like, yeah, no, I'm going to actually know my stuff and...
Yeah.
That way when someone comes in, they can't question my intelligence based on it or my experience.
It's so nice just being able to prove someone wrong. You know what I mean?
It's a little satisfying. It's so bad. Yeah. Like, that's so bad that that it's all rooted in bitterness.
One of my favorite things on the sales side, I was sales before this, mm-hmm. a customer would come in and he would almost, I'm saying he, but it could be anyone really, they would mm-hmm. ask me questions as if I don't know the cars that we're selling. And to be fair, there are some salespeople out there that just, they straight up don't care. They're just there to make numbers.
Yeah.
Obviously it's a job, but you want to know at least what you're selling, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. They're asking me questions like the horsepower spec. What kind of engine does this car have? Asking about every single car on the lot. And I'm answering them because I know.
Yeah.
But every single time they're like, oh, I got to think of something else. I got to trick her. I just never got it.
It does sometimes seem like that trick mentality. Yeah. Like,
seriously, it's challenging being tested like that because you know they wouldn't be doing it to someone like maybe Grant, one of our more, he's an older gentleman who's been here for a while. And I will say, just because you've been here for a while doesn't mean you know more. Because I used to sit in front of Grant, and whenever his customer would ask a technical question, especially in the EV world, Grant would always be like, Gabby,
did you hear that?
Do you know the answer? Like, yeah, it's this.
So I think, and that's not like obviously to puff ourselves up or anything like that. We're just kind of explaining some of the...
Girls can know it too.
Yeah, girls can absolutely know it too. Yeah. And I don't know, it's just a lot of fun. I don't think that cars are mutually exclusive to anyone. I think that they're a lot of fun.
I will
for
also say age, because even like a younger dude starting in the car world, a mm-hmm. lot of people will test him and, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just... You can be young and passionate and know what you're talking about.
And I think that drives you to learn a lot more and to continue to research, continue to improve. And I don't know, I think that can be a really big asset for some people. So don't necessarily discount youth.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about when we started the YouTube channel. Mm. So obviously we didn't start the channel from scratch. We had Peter that was doing mm-hmm. our videos well before us. He moved provinces and me and Charlotte took over. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to take over.
No.
Peter was like, you guys are going to do the videos. And we're like, no, and we're not. And sure enough.
Here we are.
Yes. Sitting in the back of a Telluride.
2 years later.
Talking to a camera. But so when we first started, there was a couple of videos where it was like Peter and us, or maybe just us. It was a shorter video because we were nervous. And we got some like pretty nasty comments.
I hate female car reviewers.
Yeah, female car reviewers suck.
And we're like, same.
We're like, yeah, us too. That was a joke, guys. But also, I remember this one comment, and there was some negative language in there, so I'm not going to say that. But it was along the lines of, why the... Would I listen to some...
Pause for emphasis.
Pause for emphasis.
Be creative.
Use your own words. Female car reviewers. Why would I listen to anything from these two young girls? We're like, because we know what we're talking about.
Is that what you responded?
It was like...
That's so funny.
2 years ago. I'm like, well, everything we said is true.
Yeah.
Sorry. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that. It's just so, like, why? Why do you feel the need to...
Yeah. Now, I will say, I feel like we don't get as many comments like that on YouTube. I actually think that we have some really incredible subscribers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who are, like...
And they fight for us.
Yeah, and they're, like...
They're answering comments before we do.
If you're listening to this, you're included in that. Yeah. You rock.
Yeah, seriously. So. It's been great, the amount of support we've been greeted with.
We are so lucky.
It so outweighs the negativity. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, there's just about no negativity anymore, which is quite nice.
No, it's
That's
incredible.
Not an invitation to start, though.
I hate female car reviewers.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about our
hot takes. Yeah. What's your hot take?
Oh, I feel a little bit safe sharing this with you guys because I feel like this is a very, you know.
We just talk about all our support and everyone's like, no, you're so wrong.
Yeah. No, but I feel like those who listen to our podcast, it's a smaller group of our subscribers. Mm-hmm. I don't like the Lexus LFA.
Ooh.
The Lexus LFA is extremely overrated. Yes, it sounds nice. Is it the best sounding car in the world? No. No. It's a, I will say it's a hype beast car.
Yeah, it is a hype beast car. I think that's actually a really good way of putting it.
It's a way overhyped car. I don't hate it. I just don't understand the hype. Sounds good. Looks not good. I guess the engineering behind it and the Lexus master technicians, yes, very cool, very nice. But I mean, I would totally take one. I would totally drive one.
Me with every car?
Oh, I hate it, but I would drive it. Bugatti? Ew. Oh, you want to give me one?
Sold.
No, that's never happened, by the way.
No.
Not yet, but if you guys want.
If you watch this video 3 times with ads.
3 times with ads, we can afford a Bugatti. Girl, we can afford a popsicle from the gas station. Okay. All right, what about you, Char?
So, okay, my automotive hot take is if you tell me Okay, and I'll say it will depend on the person, but if also, you tell me...
Also, this is a little hurtful to me, because I really do like this car.
I know. If you tell me that your dream car is a GT3 RS, I think that you pretend to know more about cars than you actually do. Because I feel like...
We just talked about how we actually know what we're talking about.
I know, it's so bad. That's why this is such a hot take. But, I mean, you would take one, but it's not your dream Porsche car.
Oh, it's one of them.
One of them. We got multiple.
I have a die-cast model in my Kia Forte there reminding me to work hard. But thanks, Charlotte.
So, and I only say that because, I don't know, I feel like it's becoming more of like a hype beast car.
Mm-hmm. I will say.
I still think it's incredible. Like, absolutely. Would I take one? Yes.
Track weapon.
But, yeah. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like if someone just out of the blue was like, oh, yeah, like a GT3 RS, I'd be like.
They heard it somewhere on TikTok.
Yes, that's, yeah. That's kind of what I think, is I feel like it's been very trendy and like a lot of like the more like influencer-y type people are doing it. And
here is another hot take. Ooh. And I feel so wrong for us to say a hot take and like how TikTok is negatively influencing car culture because, I mean, we kind of rely on that.
Yeah, we love car culture.
We love car culture, but I will say the TikTok car culture, not only is it negative, the amount of hate I see on there for just people expressing that they like cars, but also it's
sad.
I've almost gotten to a couple comment scraps with someone just like being blatantly wrong about things. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I just feel like it's so easy to see something and be like, wow, and not know anything about it.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So much keyboard misinformation. Warrior. Yeah. Yeah, so I think that would be my hot take.
Yeah, that is a good one. That's a good hot take.
Yeah.
That is a really good one. All right. Well, hopefully you learned a little bit about myself and Gabby and our passion for the auto industry. If that's your one takeaway, it's like, we just love cars. We love all cars. We really
truly
do.
Except LFA.
Okay. And there's so much fun in the car industry, and if you are looking to get into it, green light, like, pedal to the metal, do it. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. I guess that's really it. Anything you want to add?
Anything I want to add, so like we mentioned in this video, if anyone would like to send us an LFA, GT3 RS, Bugatti, Veyron, whatever, like, we're not that
we
picky.
We humbly accept.
Humbly accept. We will do an honest car review on it.
We'll put it up against Gabby's Kia Forte.
Yeah. So the reason why I didn't go, this is another thing, the reason why I didn't purchase the Porsche 918 for my first car was because it actually didn't have wireless Apple CarPlay.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Can you say it? Lame.
Yeah, so guys, get it together.
Well, on that note,
all right,
thank you guys so much for joining us on today's episode. If you are watching this, thank you. If you're listening to this, I'm sorry, but if you are listening to this, check us out on YouTube at the Kia Hyundai channel. You can also find us on Instagram. Mine is charis.cars.khc and yours is
gabby's_garage.
Gabbis.
Spelt Gabbis, G-A-B-I-S _garage, G-A-R-A-G-E. Also,
hey. Oh, she keeps going.
She keeps going. No, nothing else to say. I did have something. Oh, what do you think is more painful to listen to this on? Do you think the audio format or the visual
audio? I think we got, at least we have facial expressions in the video, but I think the audio
You don't think that's worse?
This podcast goes hard on mute.
Let us... I love listening to Trunk Talk podcast on mute.
All right. All right. On that note, bye-bye.
Thanks for watching.
Bye-bye.